This special edition in-depth program on agriculture is brought to you in part by Norm Rosendahl Tiling Incorporated, Knoxville Farm and Home, Heartland Co-op of Indianola, Creative Landscaping, Sundance Realty, Motor and Auto Group, Dandee Farms, Ag Resource Management, and Johnston Hicks and Griffith. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you would like to suggest a topic for In-Depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, DeBlumenhoff, Norris Automotive, Dutch Mill Supply, Sully Transport, Pella Feed Services, Church & Dwight, Knoxville Hospital and Clinics, Van Manen Seed and Chemical, and Don Kron CPA. Enjoy the program.
Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
It's that time of year again. Spring planting. In the first part of a five-part program on agriculture, let's go in depth with Mike Nagg, Secretary of Agriculture for the state of Iowa. Well, Mike, farmers are getting ready to get into the field. Your office must be pretty busy this time of year. What are you working on?
I'd say it's an exciting time of year. Spring is upon us, and it won't be too long, maybe just a few more days before folks really start to get in and get going on spring planting. It's an exciting time of year. You know, our office continues to be focused on our priorities of strengthening markets for producers, staying laser focused on soil conservation, soil health, water quality, and we're always watching animal industry issues, foreign animal disease prevention. So those are the things that are keeping us busy. Well, in addition to just monitoring and managing all the things that are the impacts of COVID and the aftermath of the storms from last year, those are the things that are on our mind.
Well, we're entering spring with some of the best prices we've had in years.
That's right. You know, there's a lot of optimism. The way that 2020 ended, with prices really taking a run up, and all indications are that on the demand side of things, whether it's domestic demand or demand for protein or even demand in the export market, demand will remain strong. And that's even with projected high levels, near record levels of acreage and prices again, and hopefully some good weather to go along with that. We will still see strong demand. So I think there's a lot of reason to be hopeful that prices will remain high.
Well, now there were some ups and downs with the tariffs, the final year or so of the Trump administration, the pandemic, lots of challenges. And it's pretty remarkable that things seem pretty good right now after all we've been through.
Yeah, I think it's important to look at the whole picture when it comes to trade and exports. You know, we were able to now start to feel the benefit of a new USMCA, an agreement with Canada and Mexico, our number one and number two trading partners in Iowa. We have a phase one trade agreement with China, and there's just no doubt about it. China has driven this export market again with their need for grain and for protein, for pork in particular. And then, of course, we had a deal with Japan, and that deal is, again, leading to higher levels of pork and beef and grain going into that market as well. So we are feeling the positive effect of those hard-won trade agreements, and we know that there's still a lot of opportunity to even expand those markets and play offense on trade and create some additional opportunities around the world.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on agriculture is brought to you in part by Shomo Madsen Umble Insurance in Prairie City, Subway in Pella, Asenbaugh Prairie Seed Farm, Twin Cedar Schools, Heartland Co-op of Prairie City, Cementec, Sims Custom Wash, Suter Family Farms, and Hormel Foods. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you miss In-Depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting the podcast section at KNIAKRLS.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Gritters Electric, Indianola Memorial Works, ISU Extension and Outreach of Warren County, Sully Locker and Market, Dingham and Concrete, Two Rivers Cooperative, Laley, Marion County Bank, and Iowa Realty Knoxville.
I continued my conversation with Mike Nagg, Secretary of Agriculture for the state of Iowa. Well, I know that there were some efforts being made once China shut down pretty much to our trade to open up other markets in other parts of the world.
Right.
Did that happen?
Yes, and I think that's a really important point, and a lot of folks are thinking this, that, you know, again, China's the dominant player in the marketplace right now in terms of buying soybean and pork in particular. But we need to remember that lesson learned, which is don't forget those other markets. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. And I think there has been, again, think about a Canada-Mexico agreement, a Japan agreement. And we're even doing some things, trying to get an agreement with the UK and getting a foothold in Africa and other places around Southeast Asia. And, you know, I always like to remember we've done some trade missions in Iowa. Within South America and Central America, great opportunity. They're not huge markets, but Panama, Colombia, those are places that we have a great relationship and a logistical advantage. We should never forget about those markets and do what we can to strengthen those.
Well, sometimes when you've got the big markets, it's tough to pay attention to those smaller ones, but you really got to, don't you?
You do. You do. And you know, yes, you want to be opportunistic, and when somebody's in the marketplace, you certainly want to sell product, but you do not want to forget those other places. You don't want to cut off ties with them, and I think that is a lesson that has been learned, and we need to make sure that we're, again, having a broader look at how we approach trade. We shouldn't be afraid to go, and we should make sure and put effort into smaller trade agreements. Again, the UK is a good example. As they exit the European Union, it's an important market for us. It's not a huge market for us, but it could certainly grow with a new free trade agreement. That is worth the effort to try to secure a deal there.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on agriculture is brought to you in part by Knoxville Raceway, Dowie Pest Control, Marion County Rural Water, Herberger Construction, Marion County Bank, CNC Cycle, Napa in Knoxville, the Pella Hy-Vee and the Knoxville Hy-Vee, and Spray Tech. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you would like to suggest a topic for In-Depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Granny's Kitchen, Round Window Liquor, McCoy True Value, Tri-County Veterinary Clinic, Raceway Tire and Exhaust, Jefferson Plaza Leasing, Ardeen Downing, Klein's Quick Time, and Wagon Wheels West.
I continued my conversation with Mike Nagg, Secretary of Agriculture for the state of Iowa. Well, what are some of the challenges that farmers face coming into this year?
I think markets are feeling better, of course, and certainly the ability to lock in some profits along the way is much needed. I think input costs, of course, have risen, fertilizer prices, and so that's something that's offsetting that a bit. Energy prices, of course, fuel prices have been coming up, and so there's somewhat of a dampening effect there, but again, markets are strong. I think from a weather standpoint, we've got a very large section of the state of Iowa that is still dealing with dry conditions. You know, at one point or another last year, 99% of the state of Iowa was in a drought and continues to be so predominantly across northeast and western, northwest and western Iowa. So that'll be an issue that has to be watched. And then, of course, we have the area that dealt with the derecho, the windstorm of August 10 of last year. You know, a lot of down corn over several million acres. And so there will have to be some adjustments made, perhaps some more beans planted in those areas to deal with that volunteer corn that fell off and now will sprout and create real headaches for the crop this year.
Well, now, what's your perspective on ethanol? There's you know, it looks like some maybe some challenges ahead for all the biofuels, in the sense that GM has said they're going all electric, and it seems like we can either we can fight that, but it's like you can't really fight it. Isn't it better to just prepare and try to figure out how to respond to it rather than acting like it's not going to happen?
Well, I would have a similar approach to energy that we talked about with trade. Why would we ever put all of our eggs in one basket? You know, that electric vehicles, I agree in the sense that I don't think that, I think this will come, it'll come in a big way. I think they'll continue to gain market share. There are places in this country where it's very logical because of shorter distance traveled and climate and those types of things that an EV will make perfect sense for folks, but not across the entire country. And I think that what people are needing to remember here, and something that we're going to continue to work hard in the state of Iowa to ensure happens at the federal level, is, hey, if you want cleaner burning fuel, if you want to reduce carbon emissions in the transportation system, well, then you have to have, you should factor in ethanol and biodiesel into that equation. Domestic, renewable, cleaner burning fuel is exactly what we need as part of that energy portfolio in the country. And so I think it would be unwise to put all of our eggs in the basket of EVs and sweep away the gains that we've already achieved with lower carbon fuels that we're delivering to the market today. So I think that's an important piece that we need to keep fighting for, is how do we ensure that ethanol and biodiesel remain a part of that transportation fuel infrastructure. You know, batteries aren't free, and rewiring the electrical grid to support all those EVs is not free, and it's certainly not free from a carbon standpoint either. So let's make sure we're talking apples to apples here when we look at this energy complex.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on agriculture is brought to you in part by Culver's of Pella, Verduft Agency, Harry's Ag Application LLC, Stan Drywall, Van Gorp Edwards Insurance, Central Iowa Organic Fertilizer, and Wickman Pig Company. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you miss In-Depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting the podcast section at KNIAKRLS.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Westside Muffler and Repair, Key Cooperative, Country Propane, American Family Insurance, Betsy's Boutique, Steenhook Appraisal, United Farmers Cooperative in Indianola, Champion Seed, and Farm Bureau Jeff Arkema.
I continued my conversation with Mike Nagg, Secretary of Agriculture for the state of Iowa. Well, my understanding is researchers at ISU and some other private companies as well are really making some, I don't know, real progress in making, you know, biofuels even better, you know, having, I don't know, even bringing more advantages through just more pure research into them. Are we investing enough into that?
Well, first of all, yes, especially as we think about this carbon picture and wanting to reduce carbon and all of that, that you could take any measure across the agriculture community, and whether it's the efficiency of how we grow corn or soybeans or produce beef or milk or pork or eggs or ethanol or biodiesel, we are doing better from a sustainability standpoint than ever before. And we keep getting better, and it's because of research and improved techniques and genetics and all those things. And it's absolutely true in ethanol and biodiesel too. Every day that we're producing, we're trying to do it better. And that's absolutely true. Now, the question of whether there's enough research, well, I happen to believe, I'm a big believer in R&D, and I think that you need the private sector investing heavily. You need, yes, public research and land grant institutions. It's all part of this great combination, this great mix, this great partnership of work that needs to be done, and particularly in the renewable energy field, I think we're seeing that happen.
Now, the Biden administration is talking a lot and getting farmer input on paying farmers for ecosystem services that'll pull carbon from the air, increase their soil quality, water quality, habitat diversity. What's your take on all that?
Well, first of all, I think it's good news. It's good news for agriculture. I think it can be good news for agriculture. I think it's very, it's critically important that farmers be at the table in this conversation. And so, yes, I think that, remember, when you look across the state of Iowa, anything that's green and growing is sequestering carbon. It's using carbon dioxide. We're harvesting sunlight. We're using carbon dioxide. And so we have a tremendous opportunity in the state to provide a benefit. And I hope and I expect that that will drive revenue back to the farm. And so there's a whole host of things that can be done. I like this this concept of the total paying for the total ecosystem service that's provided. It's not just paying for one practice or another. It's saying what's your whole operation producing, and then can there be some compensation for that? And let's make sure that we're also rewarding farmers that have been adopting these practices for years now too. Right? We don't just want to draw a line in the sand and say only people who do it from this day forward benefit. There has to be some consideration given, I think, to those who were early adopters. But this is good news, and I think it's a good thing that farmers are at the table, and they should be.
Well, we're getting to toward the end of the program, but I want to say that one of the best things that's going to be happening, to me anyway, is it looks like we may be, well, having our county fairs, we'll be having our FFA kids, our 4-H kids getting out there, showing their stuff, you know, learning, teaching the rest of us, and we're going to have a state fair. That's pretty neat.
I am so excited for county fair season, and certainly I think we're going to have one of the greatest state fairs that we've ever had. I think people are ready. They want to participate in that, and I'm thrilled that we're going to see county fairs back in action this year. It's such an important opportunity, as you say, for our young people in particular to prepare and learn great lessons about working hard and seeing the benefit of that. And maybe you don't do as well as you wanted to, but you think about how can you do better next year. And that's a great lesson for our young people. But it's great to see farm shows, and the World Pork Expo will be back in June. And this is a good thing. It feels like life is beginning to return to some level of normalcy, and boy, I'm ready for it.
Thanks to Mike Negg for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.